But above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, we are in the special 9-day period between the Ascension and Pentecost. So biblically, we are mimicking or mindful of the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, which I find to be very instructive for us. And we know that the apostles were commanded to be in these 9 days of prayer, and according to my understanding, they didn't know how long they were going to be in prayer until the Holy Ghost came. But nevertheless, they did exactly as our Lord told them to: be in union with prayer, prepare spiritually for the coming of the Holy Ghost, a special coming of the Holy Ghost. You see, anyone who has the state of sanctifying grace already has the Holy Ghost living in him or her. But this was a special coming. And some of you are preparing for that special coming by preparing for confirmation. But we can always receive an increase in the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost, a more full presence of him in us. So let us be thinking about the apostles during those 9 days of prayer. Let us imitate them. Let us, put ourselves in their position. Let us relive what they went through. And today's epistle and gospel lend themselves very much to this idea of 9 days spent together in a close spiritual bond in prayer. For example, St. Peter says, above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. He doesn't say have mutual charity. He says, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. And remember, charity is not just a natural liking for someone. That's not supernatural in and of itself. Charity, the supernatural virtue of charity, transcends feeling. It goes into the will, where we positively will to do good to others. We do the works of charity, the corporal works of charity, to assist people physically, but even more importantly, the works of charity spiritually, to assist their souls. And St. Paul tells us, or excuse me, St. Peter, the first pope, tells us this covers a multitude of sins. So the more you've sinned, the more works of charity you need to do. And those works of charity will atone for, will cover, will make up. But they have to be works of supernatural charity, not just humanitarianism or doing things because we like somebody. Again, that's on the natural level. So as the apostles are together, They are strengthening their bond with each other. So again, how fitting for us to hear these words of the first pope: love one another as Christ has loved you. And in the gospel, our Lord, well, this is a sermon from his at the Last Supper to the apostles, but he's reminding them that they will be persecuted. He's reminding us of that great divide between those who follow Christ and those who reject Christ. That's the great dividing line. Between those who seek heaven and those who seek this earth. St. Augustine called it the city of God. He says the city of God is made up of those who are striving to please God, live a supernatural life, live for heaven. And he says the city of man are those who live for this life and fall into so many sins. And they will persecute those who belong to the city of God. They may even pay lip service to God and say, we put these people to death, get rid of them, we'll be serving God. Isn't that what happened with our Lord? Didn't our Lord's enemies claim to be doing this in the spirit of righteousness? And yet they were rejecting the Messiah himself. And by rejecting the Messiah, they were rejecting his Father. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. You cannot just love the Father and reject or ignore the Son or the Holy Ghost. The Trinity works together, obviously. The Trinity is the original, he's Almighty God, and that's the mystery. Three persons and yet only one God, and has been this way from all eternity and will always continue to be. So I would like to reflect, since I mentioned we're in that first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, I'd like to share some of the thoughts from this first chapter. And we already heard some of it on Ascension Thursday. On Ascension Thursday, you probably remember Jesus ascending into heaven. It's related in the epistle and then also in the gospel. And then he ascended into heaven. What mixed feelings the apostles must have had. Yes, they were rejoicing because they knew this was the will of God. They knew that Jesus was going to his reward in his sacred humanity. And they knew, as Jesus said, if I do not go, then the Holy Ghost will not come to you in that special way. Does this mean that Jesus lacked somehow the ability to finish everything? Why didn't the apostles start spreading the gospel right after Jesus ascended into heaven? Again, Jesus is God. He could have given them everything, and they could have gone forth and made that the birthday of the church. But I think that Jesus wanted them to not forget about the Holy Ghost. He's sometimes called the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity. Everybody knows about the Father. Everybody knows you have to pray to the Father. Everybody knows about the Son. You must pray to the Son. But Jesus wanted them to recognize that third person of the Holy Trinity. So he says, go and pray and wait. So that's what they did. They were still fearful. They still felt so inadequate. And it was going to be that way. It was intended to be that way. Again, till the Holy Ghost came in that special way. Let's continue in the Acts of the Apostles. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that is called Olivet, which is nigh Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus had his agony down at the bottom of Mount Olivet. And as they're going to the top of Mount Olivet from Jerusalem, it's right there. I was privileged to be there. You can see it right there. They're going through the Garden of Olives. So they're going through that place of horrible torment for our Lord, where he sweat blood thinking about his passion and death. So they're reliving that. But then they're going up to the top. And at the top of Mount Olivet, that's where Jesus ascends to heaven. There's a round chapel that marks the spot. You can even see the stone from which Jesus ascended into heaven. But they're now told go and wait for the Holy Ghost. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Jude, the brother of James. So it lists the 11 apostles. Of course, Judas is not there. He received the penalty for his horrible crime from which he did not repent. All these were persevering with one mind in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. How beautifully that's put. They're together. They're in this union of prayer and charity. There's obviously different rooms within this building. The upper room was where Jesus had the Last Supper and where he gave his body and blood and ordained the apostles priests. So they're in this same room, but there's, as I said, other rooms. And they would come together for prayer. I see no reason why the Mass wasn't being offered there daily, maybe by each of the apostles. They're priests, like we are right now, gathered together at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And there's women there. There's other men there. And most importantly, Mary, the mother of Jesus. The apostles were there to pray with Mary. What a powerful lesson for us to not only gather in prayer together, but do it with our Blessed Mother. She's such an integral part of our Catholic faith, such an integral part of our prayer life. And some of the fathers of the church say that the Holy Ghost came all the sooner upon the apostles because Mary was there. She's the most pleasing person. She's the mother of God. She knows the best way to Jesus. So the apostles were with her. Let's continue with this first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And I call this the first public papal act of St. Peter. And I find it so singular, or so amazing in a detail that it reveals. St. Peter gets up. He's the Pope. He has been given that full authority from Jesus Christ himself. As a matter of fact, it is the same authority of Christ to teach, to rule, and to sanctify the church as the head of the church, the visible head of the church. And he calls for a replacement for Judas. Now, what I find fascinating, I'm sure you do too, is why didn't Jesus take care of this during the 40 days he was on earth? He had 40 days to do it. You would have thought, I would have thought, maybe you would have thought, that since Jesus picked the original 12 apostles, that he would have picked the substitute for Judas. But what seems to be very clear here, Jesus is saying, and I'm obviously using my own words here, Jesus said, I could have picked the replacement, but Peter, I'm going to have you do it. I'm going to have you take care of this. So doesn't that show very clearly the authority that Jesus had bestowed upon his visible head here on earth as Jesus goes up to heaven? That's what the Pope is, the vicar of Christ on earth, the infallible teacher and ruler. That's what a true Pope is. He doesn't necessarily have to be a great saint, but being the infallible guide, that is absolutely what the papacy is all about. And St. Peter could have literally appointed somebody, but he calls for an election. Let's have a vote. And St. Peter quotes scripture. I believe it's Psalm 118, where it talks about, let his ministry let another person take. Judas, lost his ministry. And there's another powerful spiritual lesson. For each one of us, there is a crown waiting in heaven. But that crown is not guaranteed. You or I could lose it. Judas lost his crown. He lost his ministry. He lost his reward. And so it's given to somebody else. So they take this vote after praying. Oh, good point. Another good point to be aware of. Pray before you make decisions. Pray before you cast a vote so that you're voting for the one that God would want. And that's exactly what they did. And this was, of course, most important. This is a replacement for Judas. And so they cast lots upon Joseph, or who's also called Barsabbas, and Matthias, whose name was Justus. Lord, guide our vote. Lord, guide our choice. And the lot falls on Matthias. And now that mystic number of 12 is complete again. So this is what happened during the 9 days of prayer. They were strengthening their bond with God, and they were strengthening the bond of charity amongst themselves. Powerful lessons for us. Through prayer, we strengthen our bond with God. Through charity, we strengthen our bond with each other. Supernatural charity. Aim for it. Not just on occasion, our first Pope said, constantly. So as you can see, great lessons for all of us in this first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Let us continue to spiritually prepare for the great feast of Pentecost, for an increase in those gifts of the Holy Ghost, gifts and graces. We can always increase in that. We need that increase. And let us never fail to do it in union with Mary. She was there, and we want to be with her throughout our prayer life and remembering her power of intercession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.